Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it begins, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us!' And he began to give them attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath, church.
Happy Sabbath.
I just want to say I like the Sabbath school, the new arrangements that you have. I like the fact that everyone could see each other. There was a lot of participation.
Yes.
And if that's the kind of Sabbath school you have on a regular basis, praise God. It's a testimony of a lively program that you have, and I say praise God to that. Also, praise God for the booth that you have in the back. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to know that I visited your church several times, but you didn't realize that I was here. Yes. Now, you wonder, you're scratching, what is he talking about? Well, where we live at in Syracuse, we've been snowed in at times, and I couldn't get to our church service. But thank God that we were able to go on to the Joy of Troy site.
Amen.
And we've been able to worship with you. And the last person I believe we heard speaking was Moody, I think it was, right? So we were here with you in spirit.
Amen.
And it was a wonderful service and a wonderful sermon. I want to say glory to God. So I want you to know that when, for reasons or another, we cannot come to Joy of Troy, whenever it's available, we're able to come to Joy of Troy. So the title of today's sermon is called Look Up. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we open up your word and as we understand your ways and your will, dear Lord, once again, hide me behind you, Lord. Let the word be lifted up and let your name be glorified. Praise now, Father, I do ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you ever observant, if you ever look at the community, every now and then you're going to see people that actually walk by the church. And they just don't walk by once, they walk back and forth. And it's because they're struggling. In fact, some of them, because you have so many churches on this road here, you have people that will literally walk by several of the churches. And in essence, what's going on is they want to come before God, but they don't know how to come before God. And then the devil speaks to them in their ears and says, you know what? You're not good enough. Yes, you want to come to God, but look at your sins. Look at your lifestyle. Look at who you are, you hypocrite. How can you come before God? And so the devil whispers these guilts and these things. And so there's a lot of people that want to come to church, but they feel they can't. The devil does a good job on people. In the story that we're about to look at in Acts chapter 3, we have a man that's outside of the church. And in fact, it's called the Gate Beautiful. And I'm going to give a little historical reference. But let's, once again, open up the word. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple." So here's two of the apostles coming to church at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Bible says in verse 2, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. He never ever walked. And they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in, ask for alms." Now, if there's a place where you're going to get an offering, hopefully it's going to be in front of a church. Because people are coming to church to give to God, right? And to help the needy. And so this was a strategic location. And everyone that's going to worship God had to pass by that gate called Beautiful. But there's a sad reality that I want to share with you. There was a theological view that was taught that if you were born deaf or dumb or blind, if you were born a paralytic or you had a major deformity, it was because God cursed you. And it goes even further than that. It's because your parents sinned, and since they did not confess their sins to God, God made you a public example of their sin and also now your sin. And so no matter what you can do, unless a miracle came into your life, you were not acceptable in the eyes of God. I don't know how you feel about that. But if you're crippled, in fact, all of us have some kind of deformities. So some are visual and everyone can see, and others are those that others cannot see. But imagine to be told that you are a sinner and you cannot enter those gates. The closest you can get to is by the steps of the church. And so there's this man, he wants to worship God. He wants to be forgiven by God. He wants to enter into the presence of God. But he's told over and over again, you can't come in. First thing I want to share with you is this here. Don't believe the lie. If we were not worth it, if we were not important, God would have come to this world and died on the cross. All of us are sinners. And Christ has died for all of us to have access to his glory. But you see, we have a world today, even today, where people brand other people. Even today, you have young ladies who are told that they're not beautiful enough. They're too tall, too short, too wide, too slender. And so you have a lot of women that look into the mirror and they feel that they're not God's gift or beautiful enough. And I remember one time when we were working with the young people, one lady comes to me and says, look at my defect. And I'm trying to find out what defect. Look at my defect. What defect? And points to this. I can't even see it on the side of the lip, a little wrinkle or something. And it says, can't you see it? No. But because of that, I'm ugly. Who says you're ugly? And we have a lot of women today who when they look at societal norms, they don't feel adequate enough. They don't feel beautiful enough. They don't feel, you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? And then you have a lot of young boys that are growing up who feel they're not tall enough or wide enough or muscular enough. And society says that they're not the right type. They're too short. And so you have a lot of people today who color their hair because, you see, they're blonde but they have to be a brunette. Or they're brunette and they have to be a blonde. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to know something. God created you unique. Amen. And special. Amen. And you're one of a kind. When you were created, God broke the mold, and there is no one else like you, and there will never be anyone else like you. Now, me and my wife, we have 5 children, 4 boys and the princess. And I'm guilty of spoiling her. Lord knows. But each child that comes out is different. There is no child that is the same. For those that have children, you know what I'm talking about. Each one is unique. It's not like a copy machine where you put it in and you hit the button and they all shoot out the same way and they all look alike, talk alike, speak alike, eat alike. Sometimes I wish, but it ain't that way. Each of us are special in the eyes of God. And this man is taught to feel that he is not special, that he is downtrodden, that he is an outcast, and he's taught that he is not loved by God. And so here's this man and all the others that are also asking for alms, feeling that God does not love them. And I want you to know that we have a world outside the walls of these churches where a lot of people feel that God does not love them. I get a lot of calls about people that want to commit suicide in the office. And they say, you know what, if I commit suicide, the world will be a better place. And I tell them, don't believe the lie. That is the devil talking. Because there's a lot of people that you might not realize actually care for you, love you, and want you. And right now, in this depressive state that you're in, don't believe the lie. And thank God none of them committed suicide. But you see, they feel that they're not cared for. They feel that they're not loved. They feel that the circumstances of life is so overwhelming that the only solution that they have is just check out. And I encourage them to look up, because we have a God that does care, a God that does love. And so here's this man, and finally fixing his eyes on him when Peter and John said, look at us. And so then he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Let me just stop there for a moment. You see, Peter has a message for him, and he also has a message for us today. When the world pulls you down, look up. When you feel dejected, look up. When you're feeling depressed, look up. When you're feeling disheartened, look up. When you're feeling disappointed in life, look up. When you're feeling discouraged, look up. When you're feeling despondent and dissatisfied, look up. When you're feeling disillusioned and disenchanted and discontent, look up. Because we have a God that cares. And then when we look up to Him, He always has a solution, just like the testimonies that we heard today. And God takes us from our situations, and He lifts us up, and He gives us hope. But you see, at the moment, the man can't see beyond his circumstances. All he can see is his legs. All he can see is his life. All he can see is that there is the gate, and he cannot enter in. Then Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but what I have I want to give you. And at first, the man, when he heard these words, he says, wait a second, you're not going to give me an offering? You told me to look up. You're not going to put some big coins in there? You're not going to put, you know, the $20 bill, forget the singles and the fives and the tens? You told me to look up. And now you're saying, silver and gold have I not. You see, the man at first could not look beyond the temporal. He couldn't see the greater picture. He couldn't see that God has a mighty plan for his life, and God is about to come in a mighty way. And for the moment, all he could see is the tin cup. I want you to know that very often in life, many times, all we can see is the tin cup. All we can see is our temporal state. But I want you to know to look up. Because God has a plan beyond the coins, beyond the gold and the silver. He has a plan to bless us, and not just temporary, but for all eternity. Amen. And then he says, what I have, I want to give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Amen. Amen. Now there's a problem. You see, the man has never walked in his life. He doesn't know what it means to walk. And in verse 7 it says that he took him by the right hand and he lifts him up. Now, before I go on, I need to share something with you. You see, very often, if you want to get involved in people's lives, sometimes you got to reach out and touch. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. You see, there was a stigma back then. You don't touch the outcast. But Jesus always touched them. If you look at the miracles, when he fixed the eyes of the blind man, he touched the eyes. When he fixed the ears, he touched the ears. When he fixed those that couldn't speak, he touched their tongues. When they couldn't walk, he touched their legs. When they had problems with the withered hand, he touched the hands. He just didn't talk. He touched. I remember during 9/11, we had a situation when the buildings came crashing down and they closed the roads and people were walking over those bridges. And I remember coming from the conference office, seeing the first building come down. And we got to the church and we said, we have to open up the doors of our church. Our school was upstairs, over 100 students. My kids were there. And I started calling the deacons and the elders. And the deacon says, listen, we have to come and open the door. People are going to be walking by. And just as I was saying, you see people covered in soot and dirt and the shoes broken because they walked over glass and stones and paper and people. And it was such a mess. And I remember most of the people said, Pastor, I'll get there as soon as I can. But one person just broke my heart. And he said, Pastor, just pray for them. I said, yes, we are going to pray for them. And he said, no, just pray for them and send them on their way. Excuse me? What are you trying to tell me? Well, just pray for them. And that's it? Yes, Pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. I got a holy boldness. And I had to chew my member out. And I says, I'm sorry, but you know what? Praying is one thing. But as they come into the church, we have a community service. We have food. We have showers. We have places for them to come in. You mean to tell me we're not going to open up the doors of our church and let them know that we still have a God that cares? And I remember going upstairs to my children and says, children, I need your lunches. And they go, Dad, but what about us? I says, I understand, but these people are coming and starving. And until the deaconesses come in and get the food, they need food. I says, Dad, why don't you give them your lunch? You have a big one. And I said, but I already have. Those days, I was a lot bigger. So I cut my lunch and I gave three, I made three lunches out of my lunch. And I took their lunches and I cut it in half. And all my kids, and finally he says, but Dad, I'm starving. I said, now you understand what they're going through. I says, until you understand the pain, then you can pray. And so the kids went literally and started giving their lunches also. So that as the people came in, and filth and soot and dirt, they saw the love of God. Amen. It's one thing to pray, but it's another to reach out and touch. And so Peter says the words, and the man is trying to get up, but he doesn't know how. And so he took him by the hand and lifted him, and the Bible says, and immediately his feet and his ankles begin to receive strength. I wish I was there. You have to understand, when you don't use your limbs, they become atrophy. And they're skinny and no muscle mass. But imagine, all of a sudden, the toes begin to move. You know, just imagine it. And all of a sudden, the ankle begins to swell up. You know? And the legs. And all, just see the scene. And these skinny little legs all of a sudden become full and have life and strength and muscle. And all of a sudden, he feels his energy, and he's trying to get up, and Peter grabs him, and he lifts him up, and here's what the Bible says. And he begins to leap up, and he stood and he walked. The man was, and he's walking and jumping and praising God. I'll tell you one thing. If someone gets excited about Jesus, please don't say, calm down. Pastor, he's a new person in the church. And you know, he needs to calm down here. We have rules and regulations of how we operate. You know what? When Christ comes into your life and he changes you, you cannot help. Amen. But say, glory to God. Amen. Don't kill the joy. Joy of Troy. And I could just see, as the man is coming in now, some of the elders say, oh, Peter, John, you know, check that man. I mean, tell him to calm down here. But he can't help it. He's never walked. And here's the thing here. Where does he go? Does he go home? Look what the Bible says. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they went into the temple. They went to church together.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out there that need to hear about Jesus. And the only people they know is us. And if we don't show the love of God, if we don't live the love of God, if we don't walk the love of God, if we don't present the love of God, they will never see that love. You shall know them by their love. And so here's a man who came to get silver and gold. But when he meets Jesus, God gives him the change of his life. And now he comes to church and he's praising. He's glorifying. He's saying, glory to God. You see what happens when you look up? See what happens when you look up to Jesus? When you look up and you open up your heart, Christ comes in.
Amen.
And he literally changes us. In closing, there's a woman, the new director for Ayelo y Mañana, was doing an evangelistic series in the church that I grew up in, Seventh-day Adventist Church in the Bronx, My Haven Church. And the head deacon was touched to come down the stairs and go outside. And as he went outside, he saw a woman that was just in tears just coming down. And he saw her as she slipped by the side of the church. And in the Bronx, they do things a little bit different. They go, hey, woman! It's a little different, you know. It's not like, excuse me, man, can you, no, it's a little different. Hey, woman! And so she stops. That's how they are in the projects, When you go away, hey! You shout up, I used to live in a 20-story building. Things are a little bit different, so you're accustomed to shouting like that. You do that out here, man, no dignity, Anyway, they know what I'm talking about. So anyway, the woman stops, and she turns around, and she's just tears, and her mascara, everything is being ruined. And he says, come here, please. And so she comes, and she's crying before the head deacon. And he says, what's going on? He says, well, I just went around the corner there and I bought a gun. And in the Bronx, you could just buy a gun just about everywhere. Shouldn't say that, but that's the truth. I grew up in the Bronx. And she says, I'm going home to take my life. He goes, why? Well, my man left me. My job. My whole world has collapsed. And why did God allow this to happen to me? God always seems to get the blame. You ever notice?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have nothing to live for. God doesn't love me. My man doesn't love me. No one loves me. It's better if I just check out. And the head deacon, in holy boldness, said, you know what? We're having an evangelistic series upstairs. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and listen to the message. And if after the message you don't want to listen, you don't want to follow God, go ahead and kill yourself. Thank God the pastor didn't know that, the preacher. That's a lot of pressure.
That's
a lot of pressure, man. And he says, but however, before you go upstairs, we don't allow guns in the church, and so I have to take your gun, and I hope you don't mind. And she right away pulls the gun out of her pocketbook, and he puts the 38 in his jacket. So now the head deacon is walking around. She goes upstairs, and the pastor talks about looking up to Jesus. And at the end of the sermon, she says, you know what? I did not know that we have a God that really cares about me. I didn't know we have a God that loves me. And despite my sins and my situations and all that I've done, he literally forgives me and gives me a whole new life. And when the altar call was made, she just didn't walk. She ran to the front.
Amen.
And she met Jesus. But there's a problem. You see, the head deacon has a gun. And so on the way out, the head deacon says, woman, what do you want me to do with the gun? says, I met my Jesus. That's your problem. I want you to know that we actually worship a God who's so powerful and so personal that when we open our hearts to Him and we look up to Him, He literally comes down in a dramatic way and recreates us and changes us. That's the God. That is the Jesus that we worship. And so today, I'm going to ask for you to make a dedication, a commitment to God. Are you willing to look up? But also, if others are struggling and they come to you, not that you come to them, but they come to you, are you willing to tell them about the wonderful Jesus that we have? And to point to them up to Christ and say, this is the Jesus that I serve. He is wonderful and He loves us. Are you willing to do that? If you are, stand up with me at this time as we have a special prayer dedication. Dear Father, I want to thank you so much because we worship your wonderful Father and you're loving and you send your Son on the cross to die for us because you love us. And thank you, Lord, because Jesus made the sacrifice because he loves us. And Father, there's a world out there that is hurting in pain. And many, Father, believe that God does not love them, that God does not forgive them, and they believe a lie. But Lord, thank you so much for Jesus and for the message of hope. Yes. And Father, as your people, as we go into the highways and byways, as we go into our workplace, and Lord, as people come to us, let us just tell them about the wonderful Jesus we worship. Bless your people now, Father. Bless this church. Help us to be a light to the community, a light of hope. Let our life so shine that they see us through our love, through our hands, through our feet, through our life. Bless now, Lord, we do ask in Jesus' name we pray.